Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. Delighted that you are with us, and we'll be here talking University of Miami sports. And our first guest is going to be University of Miami, former University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga. Hard for me to even say that. At any rate, we've been doing this thing for almost 15 years with Coach L, and I thought it would be appropriate that at least one more time Coach L and I do a show together here on the station. And so we have Coach L with us. And Coach, good evening. How are you?
Hi, Joe. I'm wonderful, and appreciate you inviting me to come on.
Well, wherever I go, I get this one question. How is Coach L? So, Coach, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Joe, I'm keeping very, very busy. I've got a lot of irons in the fire. I started out, Joe, when I announced that I was stepping down on Thursday. On Friday, I started writing a book and, stories by Coach L, things that I have experienced as a coach with my players, different stories about people that I've spent time with, both on the court and off the court. And I'm enjoying doing it. I've written about 15 chapters already. I doubt it'll ever be published. That part is a real problem. It's funny, Joe, you asked the one question, but I was at a friend of mine's house the other day. Liz and I went for lunch at Adam Moskowitz's house. Adam's a big Miami alum and fan of the basketball program. His son, Buggy, was one of my campers, and he invited us to his house for lunch. And at lunch was Shannon Allen, Ray Allen's wife. And she has her own restaurant here in Coral Gables. Very successful woman in her own right. And we just got to exchanging stories. She told me about how Ray Allen wrote his book and who his co-writer was. And just had a lot of fun exchanging ideas.
I should ask you, are you driving Mrs. L crazy?
I'm trying to avoid that, but she keeps herself very busy. You know, when we first got married, Joe, 53 years ago, one of the things we found that was going to be very important for her is I was going to be traveling a lot recruiting. Back then, there was no limits on how many days you could recruit. You could actually recruit 365 days of the year. And in my first year, I was gone 200 days. So we sat down and talked about how important it was for her to not only have a life with me, but a life without me when I was doing all my traveling. And she's done an amazing job with that. Today, she went to a luncheon with 50 other women at the Gables Club and had a wonderful time yesterday. She played Mahjong the day before. It was golf. She plays bridge. She has a full life, plus she's always taking care of me. You know, she traveled with us, Joe. You remember back about 6 years ago, she just started traveling with our basketball team on all the road trips. So she's been everywhere with us.
Well, if we go back a couple of weeks, how hard was the decision for you to stop coaching basketball? It's something that has been a big part of your life for, I think, 54 years. You kind of started off when you were a freshman in high school as a coach, but how hard was it for you to finally say you're going to do something else?
Well, it was painful. I can tell you, I never dreamed in my life that I would do something like that. I mean, I have not only this season, but two more years on my contract. And I love Miami. I love coaching basketball. I love being around the players. But one of the reasons we moved to Miami is because I had this vision in my mind, and it was a goal that I had set a long time ago. I felt like if I, given the right opportunity, I felt like we could win a national championship here at Miami. You look at the football program's history, they've won five national championships. The baseball program has won four national championships. And when I was researching the job and wondering if that was the kind of thing I should go after, I thought, you know, the history of Miami athletics is storied. I mean, it's a fantastic athletic program, a lot of success in all the sports. The non-revenue sports have done extremely well. Our track coach, Amy Dean, is, and she's the Olympic coach.
Right.
And Paige, our tennis coach, is really a Hall of Famer herself. Katie Meyer had just been named the ACC Coach of the Year, National Coach of the Year. I mean, so I felt like Miami is the perfect place for me to make my next move. And for the next 12 years, I think with a few road bumps, we were still doing exactly what I had envisioned. But about 18 months ago, when we got back to the Final Four, Joe, you know, everything changed. And I felt like I wasn't prepared for that. That we had to deal with eight of our players coming back from a Final Four team, and we had only two guys were going to graduate and move on to the NBA. Everybody else was back. And then, you know, eight of the, like, 11 guys were planning to put their name in the portal and go someplace else. And my first response was in shock. My second response was we didn't have a collective. And then I found out, oh, we do have a collective, but I was the one that had to raise the money for the people to donate to the collective, and I didn't realize that. And so there was a lot of things going on. And then ultimately, after last season was a disaster and this season was heading in that direction, I just felt, well, you know, to be fair to the university, to be fair to Dan Radakovich and the athletic department, if I'm not the right guy any longer to lead this program, I wanted to give them every opportunity to find the right guy. And I stepped down in December. We had not yet played an ACC regular season game in January yet. We were about to start. I let the administration know that I just thought it was best for the university and the athletic department for me to step down, that I was no longer in my own mind the right guy for the job.
Moving forward in the future, I know you always wanted to be associated with the University of Miami. Will you still be connected with the University of Miami, or is that to be determined?
Well, it's in the process. I've met with Rudy Fernandez, who's our executive vice president, a wonderful guy. His two sons are campers of mine, and so I've gotten to know Rudy very well. He and the president, Joe Echeverria, have met and talked, and then I met with Rudy. So we're heading in that direction. I plan on trying to contribute in any way possible, whether it's to, you know, raise money or teach or be an ambassador in the community. You know, we're talking about a university that's a top 50 school in the country. So academically, it's a great place. We have all the resources. The university really is branded in a certain way. The first way is it's great academically. The second way, it's got a fantastic medical school and medical system with the hospital. You know, while I've been here, they built the Lennar Medical Center right next to the Watsco Center. And I know how good that place is because I give them a lot of business, Joe. I'm over there 2-3 times a week. I got more doctors than I know what to do with. But the reason I'm there is I wanted to stay in great health. And the best way to do that is, you know, not just get your physical, but anything comes up, you know, you got to stay on top of it. So, and I've got friends in the medical field and friends in the law school. And then, of course, probably the thing that people read about the university the most is the athletic department. And the athletic department oftentimes is the marketing arm of the university. You know, we've got great faculty, but you don't read about the great math department or business school as much as you read about the football program or the basketball program. And so you want those teams to do very well. You know, we see what Mario Cristobal did this year. I mean, winning 10 games and going on a winning streak and beating Florida and Florida State. And, you know, it's wonderful to have the stadium packed with Miami fans. You know, Hard Rock is a great venue. So, and then when the basketball program, you know, one of the things I'm most proud of, Joe, I think you know this, I still believe this is true, but we went 3 seasons where we were sold out. Every season ticket was sold for 3 straight years. And that had never been done before. And I know our basketball program was not able to keep that up, but I'm very proud of the success that we enjoyed during those first 12 years.
Well, I was thinking about this today. Over the last 14 years, you have provided you provided the best moments in the history of University of Miami basketball. I'm not sure that there was hardly ever a night where we walked into the Watsco Center and didn't think University of Miami did not have a chance to compete. And there were so many great wins. I could probably throw a dart at any one of the schedules and hit an opponent where it was an incredible night, whether it was for some reason a Michigan State game popped into my head today, a win against Virginia a couple years ago, the Carolina wins, the Duke wins, one game after another. You just gave this program so much. So on behalf of everybody, thank you for that. But it was a marvelous ride, and you made University of Miami basketball relevant.
Well, Joe, I have so many unique memories. My first year as the head coach at the University of Miami, we played Maryland on a Wednesday night, and I was sick as a dog. I didn't make the shoot around. I wasn't there for the pregame talk. And then at like 7:30, I finally started to feel better, got dressed, raced to the arena, and we beat Maryland like in double or triple overtime.
Yeah.
Remember, was it double or triple overtime?
Yeah. I think it was triple overtime. I think it was triple overtime.
Yeah, and we had Shane Larkin had cramps, and Justin Heller, our walk-on, was out there. And, we had another walk-on that year who got out there. He had to guard the best player in the league. I can't remember the details. He was from, like, Seattle, Washington or something. What was his name? Anyway, and then after the game, I got sick again. I was in the hospital Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and the team was leaving to go to Duke Saturday at 4 o'clock. I'm on IV fluids in the University of Miami Hospital. I got out, got to the airport, flew to Durham with the team. We beat Duke for the first game of since becoming a head coach. We played Duke at Duke, and we beat Duke in overtime. What a heck of a week that was, a triple overtime win against Maryland and an overtime win against Duke. And Shane Larkin, who had played against Austin Rivers in high school, they battled in the state championship game in the state of Florida, and Shane lost. And I told him before the game, no, tonight you're getting some revenge with your arch rival. And we did. Reggie Johnson tore them up, had like 28 points and 12 rebounds.
Maryland, it was 90-86. I should tell our listeners how committed you were not only to your team, but to all these shows, because there was a game at Boston College where I interviewed you before the game, where we were in the training room and you were on the training table, and I interviewed you laying down on the training table.
I was getting IV fluids before the game. It was crazy. Hey, but Joe, how about year two? Year two, we're playing Clemson at home. If we win, we're the outright ACC champions for the first time in school history. And we beat them, and the crowd just swarmed right. The court. It's one of my happiest moments, because it was something that we had not experienced before. And the crowd stayed on the court for more than an hour. I mean, we were cutting down the nets. People are hugging and high-fiving. One of my favorite campers of all time is Michael Cadre. And his dad, Manny Cadre, is the chairman of the Board of Trustees here at the university. And his son, Michael, was my camper from... He might have been like 6 years old when I met him for the first time. And he's been a part of some very, very special moments, because when we won the ACC 2 years ago, the year we went to the Final Four, we brought Michael out on the court to help us cut the nets down. That's how much a part of the program he's been. So some of these memories, I mean, they last a lifetime, but they're not just mine. It's my family's memories. It's my players' memories. It's the university, the administration, the faculty, because we've got a fantastic group of professors and faculty members who, you know, make us what we are. And it's really been a lot of fun. I'm sad that it's over, but... we're looking forward to helping the next head coach continue and hopefully win a national championship in the next few years. I'd love that.
Me too. By the way, that Clemson game was 62-49. Before I let you go, will you have any input or offer an opinion or on the next head coach?
Well, that's not a part of my responsibility. Mm-hmm. I'm certainly willing to help if they ask for it, but you know, really the responsibility falls on the shoulders of our great administration. You know, Dan Radakovich is the leader of the athletic department. Rudy Fernandez, the executive vice president, and Joe Echeverria were actually given the responsibility of helping lead the athletic department 3 years ago, or maybe it's 4 years ago now. No, I think it was 3 years ago. And then, of course, you have Manny Cadre, who was instrumental in bringing Mario Cristobal here. And, of course, Jose Mas, who's the member of the Board of Trustees who's in charge of athletics. And he was the gentleman that encouraged the University of Miami to hire me. That was 14 years ago. So I think the university and the athletic department, the basketball program, is in good hands.
I'll leave you with this. There's been talk that college football should have a football commissioner like Nick Saban. So I have a new idea for you. There are guys that have stepped away from the game recently. Yourself, Tony Bennett, Coach K, Roy Williams. So I thought we could have a commissioner's committee.
Well, I mean, I've had thoughts about the direction college athletics is going in. And of course, I wouldn't have been stepping down if I was thrilled with this new landscape. But what I would, what I think we should do is revisit the model that we have. I mean, what's happening, and I'll use football first as the example. The conferences are growing so large. The superpowers. And what I would like to see discussed anyway at the highest level of administrators, presidents, and athletic directors is if there could be one super conference for football and then basketball go back to being smaller conferences. I mean, some of the travel that is being done now by programs like the ACC now is stretched out from New York to San Francisco, from Florida to San Francisco and back. I think, you know, college student athletes still should be considered students primarily, but that has changed dramatically because now, in all honesty, it's athletes consider themselves professional athletes because they're being paid.
Yeah.
And they're being paid very handsomely. And if they're going to be professionals, well, then there need to be professional rules. There needs to be transparency. There needs to be antitrust legislation to govern all this. There needs to be a collective bargaining agreement. There needs to be leadership. Right now, the NCAA, their history has been over the last 20 years that every time they're taken to court, they lose the legal battle. And it just happens over and over again to the point they've, you know, quite frankly, quit fighting. And so something needs to be done. And hopefully someone a lot smarter than me can step forward and come up with a plan to get this thing back on track so that the student athletes get back to being students instead of just getting back to being transfer students. Do you know, the University of Miami is going to play SMU this weekend, Joe, right?
Yep, Saturday, 2:00.
Saturday at 2:00. And you know who maybe the hardest guy they're going to have to guard?
I haven't looked at SMU yet.
I'm going to tell you then. It's going to be Matt Cross.
Oh, well, you recruited him.
We recruited him. He came to Miami. He spent his freshman year here. Then he transferred to Louisville, spent a year at Louisville, transferred to UMass, and now he's transferred to SMU. He's going to have played, or he's already have played, at four different universities. Now, I don't think that the NCAA envisioned the transfer rule creating this kind of chaos. So it's just so challenging because as players, let's use freshmen as an example. It's very commonplace now for a freshman at the Division I, especially, I was going to say Power 5 level, but not really, just everywhere in Division I. By January, that guy is figuring out, talking to his high school coach, his AAU coach, and his agent. Listen, I'm having a great year. In March, I'm putting my name in the portal. Find me a place that are going to pay me more money. Or I'm not playing much. I'm not doing as well here as I anticipated. There's too many good players here. Put me in the portal so I can transfer someplace where I can get 30, 35 minutes of playing time and get a substantial raise from what I'm making here. Because that is the reality of it. Mm-hmm. Kids are putting their name in the portal not once, but multiple times looking for more and more money. It's understandable because everybody likes getting a raise, right?
Yeah, right.
If you tell everybody, hey, we're going to give you a raise, but you're going to have to move to another school, hey, I'll take the raise. But that's what led me to being at home and not on the court every day. Because that I'm just so uncomfortable with that.
Well, I know you got to get back to writing that book, so I'm going to let you go. I will tell you, I think we returned to the Watsco Center this morning at 3:45, so I'm sure you don't miss that part of it, or didn't miss that part of it. Because I pulled into my driveway at about 4:30, I believe, last night. And I do want to say, you and I have been doing this show for 14 years, and I've been calling the games with you for the last 14 years. It's been a great ride, great thrill, and thank you for all of that, and thank you for the access that you have given us over the last 14 years.
Well, thanks, Joe. I'm a big Miami fan. I'm cheering for Coach Courtney and his staff and the team. I watch the games on television. And let's get a win on Saturday. Let's beat the SMU Mustangs. Get a W.
All right, Coach. We'll be talking to you. Thanks very much.
Okay, Joe.
All right, that's University of Miami former head coach, Jim Larrañaga.